Our second lesson of Scripture today is from Acts chapter 5. I'll begin with verse 12 and continue down through verse 16. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets, and they laid them on cots and mats in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. About a year ago, I was fortunate to go to a dinner that the keynote speaker was a gentleman named J.J. Jasper. Some of you may be familiar with J.J. Jasper, who speaks on the AFR radio. J.J. is also a comedian. He does significant numbers of speeches throughout the country. He's well known. And he brings energy and enthusiasm for life, laughter, love, and joy. But several years ago, J.J. knew tragedy at the highest depths, or at the furthest depths of darkness in his family, as he and his wife Melanie lost their 5-year-old son Cooper. JJ and Cooper were riding in a dune buggy on their family farm. They were both buckled in. They'd followed the rules. They were doing everything they were supposed to do. But they took a turn. The dune buggy flipped. JJ was thrown from the dune buggy, and he ran to his son, whose body lay limp in the dune buggy. And JJ tells the story that as I reached down to my child's lifeless body, I prayed and I asked for God to give him back to me, to restore him to life. And it was not to be. He was already gone. J.J. was doing in that tragedy, in that horrific event, what many of us have done. Perhaps not as tragic of similarities, but in other junctions in our life, he was asking for a miracle. For God to do the unimaginable, the unexpected, only what God could do. J.J. shares as he tells this story that it's been a journey, of course, as you could only imagine. He and Melanie and his family growing and learning, as he says, to grieve well. He shares that at the funeral, his pastor shared a story of a missionary family that once knew a similar tragedy. And after the death of the child, a friend of the missionaries came to the service. And this friend brought a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. And on the back was written these familiar words, Romans 8:28. For God works for good in all things for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He said the scripture was written on that jigsaw puzzle and explained in this way. We believe the words of the scripture, that God indeed works for good in everything, but so often that everything that we see his good is not clear. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. We only see the piece, and only God can see the whole picture. So friends, as we face challenges, tragedies, circumstances in our life, so often we as parents, are sojourners in the faith, yearn for God's miracles of grace in our life. And we try to make sense of the times that we don't receive miracles. And maybe the question before us as we hear this scripture today of these prolific miracles of the first century church is why? Why doesn't God still do miracles like He once did? Have you ever thought that question? Have you ever wondered why we just don't see miracles on a daily basis or as evidently as the early church did? As we consider that question, maybe it will help us process those words a little more if we reconsider together just what a miracle is. If we think of it, Webster's dictionary describes a miracle some ways in this way. It says it's a surprising and welcome event. I like that. Not only is it something that surprises us, but it's a happy surprise. Kind of like serendipity, which is a happy accident. A miracle is a happy surprise. Webster says it's a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable. We can't explain it. That's what miracles are. For me, to bring it down even a little more simply, I think it can be defined in some ways with just two words. A miracle, for me, is only God. Only God can do it. It's not something we can accomplish on our own. It's something that we can't even explain as His children. A miracle is something only God can give. So if that's what a miracle is, and we wrestle with the question, why don't we see miracles as present in the church as we once did? You know, I had the fortune of meeting this past week one of Manya's co-workers. Her name is Pam. Pam's an African-American lady in her 60s, full of life. And Pam was telling us a story of how a few months ago she was attacked by a bat at her home. She developed a great fear of bats. And she's a deep woman of faith. And Pam began praying fervently, as you can imagine, that she never would have another encounter again with bats for the rest of her life. She was fear-stricken. But lo and behold, despite her prayers, despite her praying, and in many ways asking for God's protection, just a few months later, she was attacked by a bat again. And in this attack, she was so fearful, and she was fighting the bat, that she fell down, severely hitting her head, fracturing a rib. Pam was lying there on the concrete. I can only imagine the questions going through her mind. And if it was me, I would have to be saying, God, why? God, I prayed. Lord, I ask, were you not there with me as you were with the first century church when they played? Pam's injuries were so severe, she had to go to the emergency room. They did a CAT scan and several x-rays. And in the process of seeing if she was okay from the injuries caused by the bat, in the midst of the CAT scan, they found an aneurysm on her brain. Had she not been injured, she would not be living today. Does God still do miracles? Friends, I'm just silly enough and foolish enough in my faith to believe He does. In the words of J.J. Jasper and in the life experience of Pam, sometimes we just can't see the full picture that only God can. But miracles remind us, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, as Allie and Manya and I wrestle with, what do miracles communicate to us? Allie said they communicate hope. They remind us that God is still there. And they show us His love. You see, I think that's what the purpose was of the miracles in the first century church that we read about in our scripture today. I think back earlier in Acts to that passage in Acts 3 where we hear the story of the lame man, where Peter and John are coming into the temple and they're encountered by this lame man who's yearning for healing. We referenced this a few weeks ago in the sermon. He's wanting some temporary relief, but Peter says this, "I can't give you money. I can't fix your immediate need, but what I can give you is life, love, and joy forever. In the name of one who gives that, stand and walk." And you see what happened as a result of that miracle. Peter preached the words of life. Peter was able to communicate to thousands. The doors were open for him to have a platform to proclaim that Messiah through Jesus Christ had indeed come to the world. You see, the miracles, it seems, that happened in Scripture, and surely the miracles that happen for us even today, are used to continually communicate those things that we talked about: hope, God's love, and the life we have through our Savior. It's to introduce people to the faith and grow people in their faith. You know, I'm enamored at this scripture today. When it says, I don't know if you caught the words, but as it ended, it said that all who came to the church, that's what they were. When they came to Peter, when they came to John, when they came to Solomon's portico, they were coming to the church, to the Christian church. You know, the church is not so much a place, is it? As the church is a people. They came to the church and it said that everyone who came, the word is all, A-L-L, all were healed. Friends, it raises the question for me still, why aren't we all healed? Or maybe we all are healed when we place our faith in Christ. Let me say it this way. As a young greenhorn pastor starting out in ministry, I was always careful about how I prayed for miracles. Because my concern was this. My concern was, what if I pray with a church family that's facing an illness? What if I pray with one who's yearning for a miracle of grace and I ask for it and it doesn't happen? What is that going to do to their faith? But if I was really honest, the fear was for myself as well. What would it do for my faith if I asked and didn't receive? If I really got the energy to pray for a miracle and didn't get what I asked for God? But you know, one time, very early in my ministry, I prayed very sheepishly, very fearfully for a miracle with the young family, and God, through His grace, delivered. In a way I couldn't explain. In a way that the family couldn't fathom. And since that, friends, I've prayed for miracles and they've not always been answered on my terms, as Manya said this morning in Sunday school. Doesn't always happen when we want, does it? Or how we want. But God is always there. So friends, that experience with that young family turned my view of miracle praying upside down. Now I pray, I ask, and I believe that God will give us a miracle. And I say this, God will heal you. It may not be on this side of heaven, but your healing will come. For through the greatest miracle of all, we Christian people have Jesus Christ as Savior. The scripture today says all who came to the church were healed. Friends, isn't that promise
still true for us? That we all have the greatest miracle of all, that Jesus Christ would die, and the miracle of grace that brought him back to life, that we may live in love forever. You know, last Sunday we had quite a bit of excitement here at our worship community. Hollis Wigington had to go to the hospital, and while Hollis was there, he said, Dr. Elliott came and checked on me. And he said, Dr. Elliott had his check for church sitting in the shirt that he was wearing. And Hollis asked me, he said, he didn't ever make it to church, did he? And I said, no, Doc didn't get to go to church last Sunday. He had to miss church. And then later on that day, I called Ann and Bobby. They were out of town. They were doing what good grandparents do. They were taking care of those grandkids in Jackson. They had to miss church last Sunday. So I phoned them. I wanted them to know about Hollis and his illness. Bobby was a step ahead of me. He said, oh yeah, we know. In fact, not only do we know, we've already been to see him. We've gone to the hospital. See, our scripture says today that people brought others to the church seeking miracles, but more than seeking miracles, they brought them to church for this reason, friends. To show the love of Christ. But every once in a while as a church, we turn that model upside down. And what appears to be our missing church is us taking the church to them. Bobby, Ann, Charlie. Thank you for being miracle workers last week. Amen. Let's respond in faith now as we remember, as Christian people, what it is that we believe about our God. And let's affirm it for all to hear as we grow more in the image of Jesus. Will you stand with me now as we